Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How is everybody doing? I hope you guys are doing well and you're safe and you're happy. The energy is super wonky right now. If you follow the planets, Mercury is in retrograde and the retrograde, so it's making very intense, wonky energy. I'm feeling it. I don't know if you guys are feeling it, but I'm certainly feeling it. And I suspect others are too, just from some conversations I've had in the last couple days. Today I have a really cool show. I have a psychic medium and a past life facilitator, Corby Mitlide, as my guest. And she is going to join me in just a few minutes. I'm excited because I have never done a show on past lives before. So that's going to be the focus of today's show. So it's going to be fun. For those of you who are new tuning into my show for the first time, I am also a photographer and an author, and my book is titled Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And in my book, there are 30 manifesting stories, along with the photographs that I took of the contributors' manifesting postcards. And I include writing exercises in the book to help us get clear on what we want to manifest, and a toolbox full of fun exercises and writing things that we can do to manifest love, money, health, career, and so much more. It's a perfect time of the year to create a manifesting postcard for what you want to bring into your life in 2022. I can't believe we're in 2022. If you need help creating one, just reach out to me and I will help you. They're so much fun and people love them. And yeah, they work. They really do. So if you're interested in doing this inner work and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, inspiration, and manifesting, please go to your favorite bookstore and purchase a copy. Each week, I share a magic money message, and it's an image of a manifesting postcard that I photograph with an affirmation that I like to focus on for the week. I find using affirmations daily is a powerful way to become a new belief in our system, in our energy field. So this week's magical message is, life is good with a filled passport. And I was inspired to do this because I'm going to be doing, no matter what is going on, I don't care. I'm traveling in 2022. I am traveling. I've made it a commitment to myself. I'm doing it. And I am going overseas in the summer. I'm going to Ireland and England. I'm going to the UK. I'm super excited. So I like to remind myself that this is happening. It's happened. It's already so. So that's why this week's is Life is Good with a Filled Passport. So for those of you who've been feeling pretty stuck, maybe you should start thinking about, you know, even small little road trips just to kind of get out of your little box that we feel like we've been so isolated in for the last over two years. If you want to see these magical messages that I talk about each week, you can find them on any of my social media platforms, Postcards to the Universe, and on my website. I post them each week. And if you're on Facebook and you want to join a really cool group where there's lots of inspiration and beautiful photos, you can find me there also. It's called Postcards of Love. Okay, so next week I have Avital Miller. She's a best-selling author of books, Healing Happens in Practice, and she inspires people to experience boundless energy, absolute happiness, and true success in order to live the best life possible. She's an international keynote speaker, a neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, and she does healing. She's a healing breakthrough facilitator. So we're going to be talking a lot about healing next week. So join me for that. All right. To get to my guest today, I'm so excited to talk to her. Corby Mitlide. She is a certified tarot master. She's certified psychic, trained medium, and ordained minister. And her work is showcased in Robert Schwartz's breakthrough series, Your Soul's Plan, Your Soul's Gift, and Your Soul's Love, highlighting her ability to retrieve clients' past lives in detail. With close to 50 years' experience, Corby's abilities include spiritual intuitive counseling, past life retrieval and analysis, mediumship and spirit guide conferences, including Speaking with One Soul. And Corby speaks and counsels at holistic expos, seminars, and workshops throughout the U.S. and Canada, as well as one-on-one sessions with clients worldwide. And today's conversation, Corby and I are going to focus on past lives. We all have past lives. Knowing who you were in a previous incarnation can hold keys to making this life more fulfilling and accelerate spiritual growth. So as you're listening, if you can and you want to check her out, you can go to her website. I'm going to spell it for you. It's corbimitlie.com, but it's spelled like this, CORBIEMITLEID.com. Welcome, Corby. Thanks so much for being here with me today. Thank you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for asking.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to talk about past lives. All right, but before we get into that, why don't you, in your own words, share a little bit about you, your background, and how you got into the work that you're doing today.
Okay, that's what I call the 30-second elevator speech.
Exactly. You could go a little longer than 30 seconds, though. That's fine.
Okay. When I was 9, I read a book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes, and I said, ooh, there is magic in the world. I want to go find it. Fast forward to 1973, when I was a senior in high school, and yes, my darlings, that does tell you how old I am. I was working part-time at Spencer Gifts, and they had the James Bond 007 tarot deck, and I bought it. We were all hippies then. You had your bell bottoms and your fringe jacket and your deck. 5 years later, everybody moved on to roller skates and disco balls. I stuck with the cards. I loved what they told me. Mm-hmm. Read for friends for 20 years. And then all of a sudden in 1994, I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people. It's when the universe said, here's your draft notice. You're working for us. Did it part-time until 9/11. Mm-hmm. When I looked at my husband and I said, people need this work. I need to do it full-time. He said, I believe in you. So one more year working 70 hours a week for corporate, psychic work evenings and weekends, took the leap in 2002. I now work 6 days a week, read 1,000 people a year, and I get to get up every morning. I don't have to get up every morning. That's the key.
Wow. Wow. So 9/11 really shifted something for you. You felt that the world, that people, yeah. I think it did for a lot of people. It's interesting that that was a big turning point in your life. So you said something about tarot, and I know this is one of the bullet points that you have mentioned before, that tarot and mm-hmm. about the difference between tarot and oracle decks. I'm creating an oracle deck. I don't know. Yeah, I know. I'm excited about it. I don't know how to read tarot. I'd love having tarot read for me. I don't know anything about it, but you say they're both useful, but they're completely different. Can you just share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Oh, sure. Tarot, mm-hmm. Ralph, whatever we call it, has 78 cards, standard, majors, suits.
Right.
And there have been years and years and years of this is how you have to do it, laid out energetically on the cards. The delicious thing about oracle decks mm-hmm. is there are no rules. They mm-hmm. are from the mind and the heart and the soul of the creator.
Yeah.
And so I have my Tarot Illuminati tarot deck, my favorite one, but I am right now staring at 7 oracle decks that I use in concert with the tarot. Mm-hmm. I will often use them. Simple example, someone mm-hmm. says, does Bruce love me? Well, yes, mm-hmm. I'll pull some cards from the standard deck for that, but then I reach for the Joy of Relationship deck by John Gray, the guy who wrote Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. And that gives me the karma that they're working on underneath.
Got it. So it's just for clarification. Yeah, I'm having fun creating my own oracle deck because it's my images, it's my work, it's my thoughts, it's my affirmation. It's, you know, it's all from me. So it's fun. I'm excited. I'm really excited about when it's going to be finished and me putting it out there. So that's really, really cool. Do you read, do you use cards when you do your private readings, your one-on-ones all the time?
Oh, well, sure. It's like a doctor can use a stethoscope, an x-ray machine, etc. It depends on what people want to know. I laugh. I say people come to me for 4 things. The everyday tour bus, house, car, job, kids. Okay, God, you put me here. Now what?
Right.
Who was I in 1642 Belgium? I want to speak to my spirit guide, Binky, and how's Dead Aunt Mabel? I mean, that's really everything I do. I have done stand-up comedy on You Think a Psychic, Psychic, so this is going to be a funny show. Just roll with it.
You are making me laugh. So does everybody think in a past life that they were somebody famous? Like, now we can't all be like, you know, Cleopatra and King Tut and all that stuff, right? Does everybody think they're famous?
Oh, my dear. If I could tell you the number of people that said, I must have been Anne Boleyn because I can't wear turtlenecks. No, it doesn't work that way. I have done hundreds and hundreds of past life retrievals for people. Mm-hmm. I've only come up with famous people 3 times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, yeah, it's a numbers game, right? It makes sense, it right? Not everybody can be famous, right? That's cool. Why don't you? Well, right. This is perfect segue. What is when you talk about past life? You've done a past life retrieval. What does that look like? A client comes to you. Somebody's listening to the show right now, and they're like, "Ooh, this is really interesting. I always, you know, felt like I have this major fear of whatever, and I don't understand why. Yeah. Like, maybe it's a past life thing. Like, what does it look like, a retrieval?"
Well, the difference between a retrieval and a regression, very important for listeners to know. Regression must only be done by a certified hypnotherapist, a certified past life regressionist, because if you get into that, you're going up to the Akashic. If you see a traumatic death or a horrible abuse situation, they have the skill to pull you out of it so you can observe but not feel it. Don't want to do that, but you need to know what's going on, you come to me. You say, why is there wet hair in my face? And I freak out. I'm the one who goes up to the Akashic, pulls down the book and says, here, read chapter 2. Mm. But I tell people that you've got to give me an obsession, a phobia, a place you either love or hate that makes no sense. Like, I've got Irish. Why do I have this thing about Peru? Or a person that is important out of all proportion. Because we've had hundreds of past lives. If you just say, well, give me one. I can give you one that is bang on. And if it has no resonance for you, you're going to go, yes, so.
Right.
The quick example I will give you, a woman came to me and said, look, my son is 29, and he won't live a mile from me. He still asks me about all decisions. What is wrong? Right. And I went and tranced. I said, okay, I'm seeing 1944 Utah Beach. Your boy is one of the people who came onto the beach. He's got a pretty mangled leg. You're his commanding officer. You're dragging him over the dune, you know, behind it. You take some shrapnel too, but you both get out of there alive. You save his life. And she looks at me and she says, can you see my rank? I said, yeah, you were a sergeant. And she says, he's called me Sarge since he was 3 years old and we never knew where that came from.
Boom. Oh, wow. I just got goosebumps. That's crazy. That's so crazy. I have heard this, and you'll know if it's true since you do this kind of work, that we very often reincarnate in the same group of souls as a soul families, let's say. Like, a lot of us come back together over and over to have different experiences, maybe play different roles. Is that true?
Absolutely. The example I can give you, my father was my best friend. He and I even had the same birthday. But we normally, when we incarnate together, come in same generation, best friends. Mm. But I set up in my pre-birth planning session some really difficult stuff, and I knew I would be the best friend of the father. So my soul asked his soul, would you do the father-daughter monad? That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. They agreed. And so that's why... Yes, normally we're best friends, but it was father-daughter this time because that was the role that I needed him to play.
Yes. Okay, that makes so much sense. Is that why a lot of people will have these relationships? Now, this is romantic. I'm not talking about family. Let's switch over to romantic relationships where you know that somebody is your soulmate or one of your soulmates and that there's been a soul relationship. And it's usually, see, people always assume that soulmate means, oh, it's love, it's light, it's beautiful, it's romantic. No. It usually means it's struggle. It's painful. It's painful. And you guys are like going through these lifetimes together to grow, right? So, and that happens a lot in romantic relationships. Is that correct? From what
I gather? Yes, but there's a big difference. Soulmates, we get more than one. They are our core team.
Yes.
My father was a soulmate. My current husband, yes. The last one, no.
Right.
But what a lot of people confuse are soulmates and twin flames.
Oh,
we don't
okay.
always get to meet our twin flames, guys.
And what is the difference? You could share for people who have no idea what we're talking
sure.
about.
Mm-hmm. Twin mm-hmm. flames, I mean, you see the couple and they're so, you cannot imagine them being with anybody else. John and Yoko.
Right. Right.
Paul
okay.
Newman and Joan Woodward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now,
I can see
it's
that.
Not always mm-hmm. sex, love, romantic. Another
right.
set of twin flames was Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri mm-hmm. Dayamata, his longest disciple. She, at okay. 18, said, "That's my life." And she mm-hmm. died at age 96, never wavering.
Wow. Wow. And then, but sometimes your twin flame is on the other side while you're having the experience. Is that true? I've heard that too.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
My twin
mm-hmm.
flame is definitely not down here because mm-hmm. I knew that I was going to be so busy re-raising myself and teaching out in the world that to have that distraction would not be good for me. So, I mean, he may be mm-hmm. on the other side of the world in Christchurch, New Zealand, but mm-hmm. we'll never meet.
Not in this lifetime, you mean?
Nope.
Not yeah. in this lifetime. But you're always right. traveling. I mean, when you go back home, I call, you know, the other side home.
Yep.
And he goes back home, or the soul. We're saying he and she just for the purposes, because we are having human
sure.
experience. But, you know, the mm-hmm. soul goes back, and then you're reunited. Is that true? Is that how that works?
Yes, but even more than that. Remember, our souls are so huge. They don't fit in these little pea brain bodies mm. of ours.
Right.
So my soul and my twin flame, most of our soul is up there, you know, sharing a bag of popcorn. Who knows? It is the personalities that return mm-hmm. with the information and mm. the experiences that the soul needed.
God, that's so interesting. All right, let's take our break here because we're at the 20-minute mark, and then I have so much more I got to ask you. This is so fascinating.
Sure.
Guys, stay tuned, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes with Corby. We got lots more to talk about.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi. I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged / developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me, I have guest Corby Mitlight on, and she's a tarot master, psychic medium, and past life retrievalist. I made up the word retrievalist. I don't even know if that's a word. This just came to me. Okay, past lives are super, super fascinating. So why is it, now the Akashic Records, give a brief description what the Akashic Records are for those who have never heard that term before.
All right. You're going to have a lot of different ideas about what they are. The way I see them, the Akashic Record is literally the record of everything we've been, we're going to be. Now, this does not mean you have no free will.
Okay.
But this is all of the universes you're ever in, because we are in more than one. The things you do, the things that happen, the people you're with, it's huge. And a lot of us see it as a book.
Okay.
So people go up and they look at their Akashic record. And when I do a meditation with them, some people see a book, some people see a parchment, somebody once saw a computer.
Interesting.
That it's the record of everything that your soul was, is, and will be.
And you said multiple universes. Is that what a deja vu is, that you're seeing another universe? You're seeing yourself in another universe? I always feel like that's what I'm seeing.
It's possibly that. Some people think that we're getting an leak, that, you know, it's a slight out-of-body experience, and we're looking down on it at the same time we're in it.
That's pretty cool, too.
But, yeah, I mean, how could this one little universe we know be it?
Right, exactly.
Has so much more. It wants to play more than one universe.
So when somebody comes to you, you obviously can't just go in anybody's Akashic records without their permission, I'm assuming.
Well, there are people that do, but just like I will not walk up to somebody and start giving them a message, I call that a drive-by psychic shooting. Seriously, are you really going to trust somebody who walks up to you in the grocery store and says, "Excuse me, your Aunt Doris just told me you got a bald tire in the back. You're going to die in a car accident the week you don't get it fixed. Just telling you, she walks away and you're standing there."
Oh,
what?
My God. Oh, my God.
I know that's what the Long Island meeting is based on, but
yeah. Right. I got you. The way you said that just cracked me up. Right. Okay. So you asked for permission. Somebody's obviously telling you, they're giving you. I mean, if I'm coming to you for a past life retrieval, I'm giving you permission to go into my records.
Correct.
Right. I'm giving you the
correct
permission. Right. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. It just cracks me up. When you were talking, when I asked earlier before the break about soul groups, I believe, in fact, I strongly believe that I have been reincarnated numerous times with my mother and my sister and my niece, like the four of us. Yeah, I really do think that we've played different roles in each other's lives, and we keep coming back over and over again to play out different parts.
So that's either a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, it's both. It's a good thing overall, but you know, it has its challenges, of course.
Got it.
Yeah. So when you said somebody likes to come to you with a question, so I'm going to come to you with a question. I am not British. I am 100% Italian. I love Italy. Don't get me wrong. Just the whole thing. But I have a thing with the UK. I have a thing with the British. I have a thing with the Brits. I don't know why I do. I can't wait to get there. I've been there one time years ago to London, but it's not London proper that I'm going to. I want to go to a smaller town, a more country feeling kind of area. And I just, I don't know why. I don't know why, but it's like something about it. So I figured, you know what? I'll ask you on the air. Why is that? Is it a past life thing?
Well, when you started talking, I immediately got the idea. Remember that at the turn of the 20th century, there were a lot of impoverished British nobles, and they married rich American heiresses. Downton Abbey is a perfect example.
I love Downton Abbey. I loved it. I obsessively watched it. No, Downton Abbey, I just loved it so much.
No, my darling, you were not one of the rich heiresses.
Just son of a bitch.
You were. Sorry.
Okay.
That's
okay.
You were more like Anna. You were the chief lady-in-waiting to one of these heiresses. And that's one of the reasons why London doesn't draw you, but the smaller places do, because that's where I believe you met someone and married them. They were brought into whatever household that is, so you both worked there.
Interesting.
But you felt more at home in Britain than in America, because in America, you were one of a lot of kids. You were always the tag along. You were always the one that got the last of everything. And you weren't special at all.
Okay. Here. So I was American who married into the British. And that's
and
what you're getting. Okay.
You came over with your rich boss, if you will.
Okay.
And you ended up marrying.
Okay.
And you were treated so much better in Britain than you were in America that it was like, this is where I belong, not back in New York.
Interesting. And this was turn of the century.
Yeah, I think Gibson Girl, so we're looking at 1908, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
That's so fascinating. Yeah, because I don't know why. Like I said, I don't know why. And it's not like I particularly like British food or anything. I just, there's something about the way they speak. There's something about the... You know, I listen to British Lit. I watch shows. I just have like this affinity for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. And there you go. Well, that's why.
There's at least one.
Do you know if I was ever British?
You may be, but I would have to spend time in a little bit of trance, and that's dead air, which is bad for radio.
No. Yeah. No, I don't want to do that. Okay. So you're going off just what hits you're getting from talking to me. Okay. I understand. Yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, you don't want dead air on the radio. No, that doesn't work. People don't appreciate it. All right. So then I'll ask you to share without revealing anything personal. Maybe somebody like, okay, well, I happen to have an irrational fear of flying. I will fly. I usually have to take something to calm me down to do it, like a Xanax or sedative or something, because I love to travel, but I don't like to fly. So I always suspect that maybe something happened and that's why I have this fear of it. Like, it's more than just nervousness. It's a fear. Yeah. Do people know with you? Yeah, I don't know if you have it.
I think you did not die in an airplane, but your fiancé was a barnstormer, and you went to one of his air shows, and you watched him flame out, crash, and burn, and they couldn't get to the body.
Oh, okay. Well, that would make sense. Yeah, I don't like it at all. But like I said, I will do it because I like to travel. So I force myself. Yeah, I force myself. Okay, now do people come to you, like you said, like you made, what was the one thing that you said earlier? You said, if somebody says, I can't stand wet hair on my face, like it's a thing, and they don't understand why. Like, did you have an example of something like that?
Yes. Okay. That was actually something that came, was part of the audience when I was lecturing at Lilydale with Robert Schwartz. This girl had butch short hair. Mm-hmm. And she said, even the smallest strand, I can't breathe. Why? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, there's a 5-syllable answer, Lusitania. Mm-hmm. You were a passenger on the boat in 1915. Mm-hmm. When it was torpedoed by the Germans, you went over the side. You had not bobbed your hair yet. You still had that great Edwardian mass, which took on a lot of water, and debris kept getting caught in it, and you drowned. She said, is that also why I'm afraid of cruise ships? I said, probably. Mm. Now, why can I do this? This is an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody can has psychic talents. I tell people, you can do what I do. We're all wired the same way.
Okay.
But when spirit is looking at you, trying to figure out what kind of a specialty it wants to give you, it goes rifling through your internal file cabinet. So what do I have? Mm-hmm. Theater major at Brown University and an actress in New York. I know how to create characters. Okay. I'm a writer and an author. Words are my drug of choice. So I know how to tell stories. And I have always been a history freak. In fact, I met my husband, who was a museum director, at a place that had World War One airplanes. And as he has told friends, there was this gorgeous brunette who knew the difference between a Fokker DR-1 and an F-1 based on the wings did, but had to marry him. So you get all that together. There could be someone else who's very good at past lives and me.
Sure.
And we both get the same hit. They might say, well, I see you in a long skirt and it's a big hat with a feather and you're standing in front of something very fancy, so I know it's old-fashioned. I could look at the same thing and go, hobble skirt, picture hat, that kind of ostrich feather, and you're in front of the Brandenburg Gate. So we're looking at Berlin in 1911 or 12. Which one's going to give you?
Right.
But
yeah.
Do not ask me to do spirit art because I cannot draw a stick figure with a sharp pencil and a lot of prayer. It's not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Like, I have a friend who can do spirit art, and she's pretty amazing. But it's like everybody has their own talent. So you use the talents you already have, which enhances the experience of when you're going and doing. So I know it just in a past life that I was a witch. Because I'm a witch again this life, pretty much. I mean, I do nothing. You know, I'm fascinated by herbs. I make my own oils. I burn candles. I'm always doing spells. And I just know that I was. I know. I can feel it. Like, it's. I think some of us have a really intuitive hit on some of the lives we've led before. You know, and because it feels
absolutely
right. So I definitely know that that's true. And I think that that's why my mom, my sister, and my niece of all of us have been together. I think we were all witches together in a
Could
previous
have been.
Life. Yeah,
seven
yeah.
Once, I, seven always.
Yeah, exactly. My brother-in-law calls us witches because we say something and it comes true. So it's just funny that, you know, that's like something that I feel. So for those of you listening, you may have a feeling. Do people, so the question then to follow that is, does somebody come to you and will say, and they get a confirmation from you, I know I was a pilot in World War One or World War Two. You know, I feel it so strongly. Can we go and see? And then you'll get a confirmation for that person?
Maybe.
I'm just using that as an example. The pilot as an example. It could be anything. Yeah.
But when people are sure that they were something, it, for me to say, I don't see it.
Oh, okay.
They think I'm wrong.
Got it.
The other thing is, it may simply not be important to them in this lifetime.
Got it.
That's why, you know, it's like for me, I know intrinsically why I did not want children starting when I was 13. I remembered an immediate past life where I died in childbirth in a hospital in Chicago. So there's that. But, you know, if someone may say, I know I'm just a janitor in Des Moines, but I know that I was Napoleon Bonaparte. I mean, you can't say yes to that. You just can't.
Now, have you met anybody who was Napoleon Bonaparte? Have you met that person?
No.
I'm just curious.
The three famous people that I've gotten, one of them was Mercy Otis Warren, who was best friends with Abigail Adams during the Revolution.
Okay.
Nellie Bly, who was a very famous investigative reporter at the turn of the 20th century. And the person that I read for, I saw a picture of her later. She's Nellie Dead Ringer.
Oh,
and
God.
A fabulous black and white photographer up in Canada who is the reincarnation of Jacob Riis. Who's Jacob Riis, R-I-I-S? He's the one that took the very, very famous black and white pictures of immigrants in the New York tenements.
Okay. Wow. That's wild. Yeah.
But no kings, no queens, no, nothing like that.
No royalty, no. Yeah, people always like to believe that's who they are. Do we have a choice if we do not want to reincarnate? Do you know this?
Of course.
We do.
Yes and no. We don't, because we aren't. Let me explain. This
okay,
is when
yes, please.
People who are, you know, well, the Bible says we only live once, and I look at them and and you know what? The Bible's right, because this is how it is. I will use the example of Matt Smith. Matt Smith was the 13th doctor on Doctor Who. Yeah, he was my doctor. And he was wonderful in that. But when he hung up the bow tie and the suspenders, he then turned to play Prince Philip in the first two seasons of The Crown. Totally different person. Matt Smith is the soul, the two parts of the incarnation. We go on again and again, but there's only one once for Corby. That's it. Once for you. That's it. And then our soul hangs up the personality in the closet like a costume. So you will never be back again.
Right.
But the soul may choose to, but you won't feel like you going, oh God, I have to do this again. I'm so tired.
Right.
I
like that you said may choose to. Does it mean may? That sounds like I have some, my soul has some kind of a choice in deciding.
Oh, the soul,
you know, because I might not want to come back here to Earth. I may want to go somewhere else. I don't even know where somewhere else is yet, but I may, you know.
The soul has all those choices. They absolutely do.
And do we work with a team before we get, do we have a team over there that we work with when we're discussing what lives we want to kind of play out? We do.
This rolls into Robert Schwartz and his book series. We do pre-birth plans with our counselors, other souls.
Okay.
And, you know, it's almost like a computer flowchart. If I do this, will you do that?
Oh, yeah, well, that's so cool. Hold that thought, though. Let's talk about that, because I really want to talk about that. That's super interesting. But we're at our second break time, so let's take the break here, and then we're going to talk more about that. Guys, stay tuned. Be back in just a couple minutes.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Wow. Welcome back. Okay, Corby, so before the break, we were talking about aligning with our counsel on the other side before we incarnate into this life. What is that like? What does that look like?
Well, we decide what we want our pre-birth plan to be. Now, how do we do that plus have free will? Let's look at college. You can decide to be a physics major. That's your pre-birth plan. But you can maybe take a bunch of gut courses and fail through, or do double major plus lab. That's your free will. You're going to graduate with the lessons you need, but how difficult or easy your life is up to you.
And do we set certain challenges in our pre-birth life plan that we want master in this life?
Yes, we absolutely do. But this goes into karma. Karma's not bad and good, carrot and stick. That's kindergarten. What Robert Schwartz understood is karma is five things. Unbalanced energy, healing, service, contrast. You want to learn about abundance. You need a rich life and a poor life. And healing your beliefs. I always love using the example of Ryan White. Ryan White was the kid who got AIDS in the late 80s, early 90s.
I remember him.
Okay. And people who think karma is bad and good think, oh, he must have been so awful. Look what happened to him. No. Let's look at his life. He got AIDS. He was a pariah, cruelly treated. But along comes Elton John. Now, Elton was drinking and drugging and driving himself to death at that point, but became very close with the family, loved Ryan, played at Ryan's funeral, was so inspired by Ryan that he got clean and sober shortly afterwards, and he has been for over 30 years, and then created the Elton John AIDS Foundation, which has raised half $1 billion for people with HIV and AIDS all over the world.
Right.
So Ryan's soul said, this could be a tough life and a short one, but if we can create this in the world, this becomes a life with a karma of service. Not bad and good.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes, I mean, it makes sense to me. Like, I always think when I hear horrible things happen, especially to children, you know, and they're so innocent, tragedies and terrible things, I always think, well, you know, maybe in the last life they were, maybe they were, they're oppressed in this life. I'll just use this. And then maybe in the past life they were the oppressor. And so they decided that they needed to come and feel what it felt like to be the oppressed. So that is why we're seeing it play out and we're thinking, oh my God, they're innocent. Yes, their personalities. Their contrast. So that's, that actually brings me a great deal of comfort and understanding. It like takes it up a notch to another level, because that's the only way, you know, when someone says, oh, God is cruel, and God, how could God allow this to happen to his children, if, you know, from that perspective, you know, and I'm thinking God has nothing to do with it. You know, I get that God, you know, if God had something to do with it, God, that's a horrible God in my opinion, right? Like, if God could throw out, like, I'm going to smite you, but I'm going to give you all the blessings, and that's just not the way it works.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's take a look at me. I've done the cancer dance 3 times.
In this life.
Soul,
in this life. Okay.
This
okay.
soul generally comes in 80% of the time male, 20% female. I do my tough lives, it's female. So this lifetime in the pre-birth plan, it was honor the female body, know that I'm worth more than that. And I had a very difficult time with that, because by the time I was 11, I had a Dolly Parton figure. I am not joking. I had a very abusive mother, an alcoholic cross-addicted with our habituates. Remember, her soul is fine, but we agreed to this. An incident happened when I was 16. I could have gone in one direction or another. I chose double major plus lab. I kept assuming that I really was as worthless as she said. And because the rack was the thing most people concentrated on, that's where the cancer came. The third time, it was a second primary. Age clock back to zero. But the doctor said, sorry, 3 strikes, you're out. We're taking them. We're going to, you know, strip you of your hormones. You're going to be a fire plug for the rest of your life. But my higher self was saying, look, kid, we need you down there to still teach. So we're going to remove the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's all it was. That was 2004. It's 2022. I'm completely fine. So look at me. You'd never know I had that figure. And I have taught from that experience 2,000.
Wow.
That's called living the examined life. Something happens. God, I really don't want this, but I have to go through it. What do I need to learn from it with me? Mm-hmm. How can I teach with it next?
Yeah, more of us need to think in those terms because, you know, it's so easy to play the victim. Oh my God, it's so easy to play the victim card. Why me? Why did this happen to me? I'm a good person. I don't deserve this. I mean, how many people come to you with that? I'm a good person. I don't deserve this.
That's right. And I have to explain to them that doesn't matter. But the thing is, in this country, being a victim gets you on TV and a new house and whatever.
That's true. And you're rewarded for it. It's very true.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you really have to, in order to get out of that rat trap, you have to accept it's a thing that happens to this personality. It isn't you. And what's the lesson? What do you need to learn? It's
now,
like a lot of women say, you know, hi, my name is Sandra. I had cancer. That's the first thing they say. Even if it was 14 years ago. I don't do that. I mean, in 1973, I was the Betty Crocker homemaker for New Jersey from my high school. But I don't tell people that now. It's not who I am.
Right.
So when you get stuck in that victim head, ask yourself, who would I be without my story? And go find out who that is.
Yeah, I talk a lot about that for as far as manifesting. Why are we manifesting things over and over again? Because we're telling the same story. So if, and especially, you know, money's a big one. So what's your money story? I'm like, you probably have the same money story your parents had. So if your parents had the money story that there's never enough, then you've adopted that story. So we got to change that story. We're changing our story, right? That's what we want to do. Tuna, can people come to you and say, you know, Corby, you know, I'm struggling. I'm like, I've been doing all the right things, you know, and I don't understand what's going on. Can you help me access what my pre-birth plan was? Can you do that for people?
No, there's only one person in the world who can. And that is my BFF, Stacey Wells. I introduced Stacey to Rob. And as far as I know, she is the only one who does that.
Wow. So she can... So she can access your pre-birth plan, like some of the things. So when you're out, so for you, so if we would come to you and we would want to have a past life retrieval, we would come to you with maybe some specific issues and we would look into our past
life challenge.
A particular life challenge. Okay. And once we know and where it comes from, does that shift the energy of it and change it?
Hugely, because it's not just one life. If I do deep trance meditation for you for 14 hours and pull down lives, could be as many as 10 past lives that I get for you. It's what macrames things together for the challenge. And a lot of people, I pull a past life for them, and it's so resonant with their life now, even though they didn't tell me any of these things, that you know it's on target.
Okay. So what does a session look like with you? Because you said trance meditation. So obviously you have to go into a meditation. So if somebody wanted a session, so what's that look like?
Number one, you're going to get a homework. When we did the work for Rob in his book, there was 20 to 40 hours of deep trance meditation and psychic work for each chapter. When I'm doing it on my little onesies, you have to give me the story. And so it's not just why did I choose to be poor? You give me a little bit of a bio. I may ask some clarification questions. Then at 6:30 in the morning, the day you and I are going to speak, I'm at my desk. I do the deep trance work. I get down the past lives. I check your numerology. I also go back and historically back check to make sure I'm on target. For instance, if I saw you using a cotton gin in 1450, I know that's incorrect because the cotton gin wasn't invented then. So I also make sure I'm not giving you false information. Then you and I are on the phone for an hour that evening when I tell you everything I found and we discuss it so you can internalize the information and move it forward.
Wow. That is so cool. I mean, that is really, 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 really fascinating, because I don't know very many people who can do past life retrievals. So yeah, I gotta contact Corby on my own here and set up a time where I can have a past life retrieval, because I am fascinated as hell right now. Like, I want to know, you know? So, okay. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. Because I don't know that many people who do what you do.
True. But yeah. Remember, you know, after 12, 14 hours of doing that, I am a crispy critter Tuesday night. So Wednesday is my day off. And I only do a couple of months, because I've got lots of other things that I do as well.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, that's one of the things. When you're one of the few people that does that kind of work, you're going to get so many people that want to connect with you, right? To have something like that done. So what is it that you do?
Booking into 2023 at this point.
Wow, I imagine. So what is it that you like to do with one-on-one clients? Where is your area that you really want to do, or that you focus on the most?
It depends on what they need. When you sit down with me, the first thing I'd say to you is, what is the most important thing you want to walk out of here knowing today? And if you go blank on me, I go Brooklyn on you and go, darling, what's biting your butt? Because you say that and everyone will say, oh, that, boom. Mm-hmm. So if it's intuitive counseling session, we'll use cards. I'll channel.
Okay.
We'll do anything like that. There are other things that I do for people. Create your sentence of passion. When you need to figure out your purpose, I shouldn't tell you. I haven't lived your life. But we work on it together. You find your rallying cry, and then you think how to direct it throughout your life. I teach courses. I teach decadence, which is how to use multiple decks at once, Oracle and Tarot. And I also teach on what it takes to be an A-lister as an intuitive. Because I was on the road for 18 years, 45 weekends a year. My nickname was the Travel Channel. Yeah, at 67 with a bad back, I'm not going back out. But I have all this information. Come learn how to straddle the twin mountain of what I cheerfully call business acumen and WikiWoo. You do that, you can make this your profession and help thousands of people.
Okay. That's really, really, really fascinating. Yeah. Okay, so you see, when you said you have some courses, are your courses like pre-recorded if people want to sign up for one of the courses, or are they, or do you do them live?
Well, the Create Your Sentence of Passion is one-on-one. Decadence, I usually do either live when we're not worried about the big bug out there, or I can do it on Zoom. I've taught it on Zoom as well. Because, you know, I don't want to get up there and pontificate. That bores me silly. I'm a facilitator. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to work with everybody in the class. And by the end of it, you should have a new tribe. That's what's fun for me.
Okay. Wow. So amazing. It's just to be that tapped in and tuned in. You know, I find that kind of work fascinating, you know. I mean, I know we're all intuitive. A lot of us don't trust our intuition, but
You have to. We are all wired like the same house plan, kids. If I can do it, you can do it.
Well, sure. Every time I've not trusted my intuition, I've gotten myself in trouble. Every time. It's never been one time where I've not, in any time that I've really trusted my intuition with no reasoning at all of why I'm feeling a certain way, it saved me. It saved me from harm, from physical harm.
It's because we're taught as kids, especially women, if you want something, you're wrong, you're bad, you'll be punished, and you'll have to watch somebody else get it. Like the cookie you wanted, your mother gives to your little brother while telling you, only fat girls eat cookies. Do you really want a cookie? And so I deal with women who come to me at age 50 and 60. I don't know what I want. They need to give themselves permission. And that, too, is the deep dish work that we do. A lot of freedom.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, we only have like 2 minutes. Is there anything that you want to leave us with before we wrap up today?
Yes. One of the simplest ways of figuring out what you want to do is ask yourself 3 questions in any situation, if you want to turn it around. What am I X about? Angry, sad, depressed, afraid. Why am I X about that? And the question we never ask ourselves, what do I think would happen if I stopped being X about that? Give yourself permission to change your mind. Change is key. Change is what helps us grow.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I like those. Those are really good questions, and they will apply to anything. So if people want to find you, Corby, the best place to find you is on your website. It's CorbyMitlide.com, CorbyMitlide.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. But social media, go find me on YouTube and in Pinterest and Instagram and Twitter. And if you want to work with me on a regular basis, there's always Patreon.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Thank you so much. I've learned a lot today and it's made me think a lot for sure. Oh my God. I just love it. Past lives. So cool. Love this stuff. I love doing these interviews so much. Thank you guys. All right. Thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.